passage last week, and we're going to finish it up this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. A fifth grade little girl by the name of Maisha made her way nervously up onto stage to speak at her fifth grade graduation ceremony. As she was making her way up onto the stage, the principal adjusted the microphone to her height, and then she just turned her back to the audience and to her class. She could hear people in the audience saying, "Come on, you can do it, Maisha. You can do it, come on." But she still stood with her back to the audience and to her class. And then one of her friends came up on stage to stand beside her. With her friend on one side of her and the principal on the other side, the three of them read her graduation speech to the parents and her classmates who were gathered together at that ceremony. What that little girl needed that day was a friend to come alongside of her in the midst of her struggle to help her through it. Do you ever get discouraged? You don't even have to answer that question because I know the answer. Yes, of course you get discouraged. Do you need encouragement? Yes, you need encouragement. We all need encouragement, and thank God that our God is a God of encouragement. As we saw last Sunday, as we were looking at this text initially in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul calls believers, he calls the church to praise God for the comfort that he gives us in affliction. When you think of this word comfort, as we explained, this word is not talking about the alleviation of hardship or the easement of pain necessarily. When you think of the word comfort biblically, we could actually interchange this word with the word encouragement. It pictures someone, it pictures God in this text coming alongside of us in a friendly way to encourage us. That is, to embolden us, to console us, to cheer us on, to strengthen us, and to lift us up in our walk with Christ. Like a river that never stops flowing, so the comfort of God continually enters in and flows into our life from the Lord to build us up in Christ. And we discussed last week two reasons why we should praise God, why we should bless Him and honor Him for the comfort, the encouragement that He gives us in the midst of affliction. And we saw both of these in verse 4. We saw that we should praise God for His comfort, first of all, because His comfort covers all our afflictions. Paul says God is the one who comforts us in all our afflictions, not some of them, not most of them, not the majority of them, but in any and every kind of difficulty, distressing time of life, God's comfort is available to us. And that's something to praise the Lord for, because no matter what we're going through, God's comfort is available. But the second reason why we saw we should praise God is we should praise God because His comfort equips us for ministry. Paul goes on in verse 4 to say, God comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So what God's doing in our lives, He intends for us to pass on to others. The encouragement He's given, it's not to stop with us, it's not to be the end all with us, but we are to use it to help build up others who are in any type of distressing situation. As Adrian Rogers puts it, everywhere we go, we're to be a source of encouragement. To some people, tribulation's a prison. For others, tribulation's a hospital from which they get well. But friend, tribulation is to be a seminary where we learn to become stewards of the comfort we receive so that we can pass on our encouragement to others. That's a reason to praise God. What you're going through, God is intending to equip you in the midst of it so that you can come alongside of others and do for them what God has done for you, provide encouragement. So those are two reasons we saw as to why we should praise God for being a God who comforts us. We're going to look at the remaining verses, verses 5 through 7 this morning. We're going to see three additional reasons why the church should celebrate God being a God of encouragement. So let's start back in verse 3. Let's read these verses together, and then we'll look at verses 5 through 7 specifically. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we're afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Father, we pray today will be an encouraging day for us as we learn more about you, the God of all comfort. Lord, may we learn from this passage truths about you that will help us to imitate you and to be more faithful in our encouraging of our brothers and sisters in the faith. And we ask it in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. So we should praise God for the comfort that he gives us in affliction. We've seen two reasons as to why that should be the case. And in verse 5, Paul gives us a third reason why we should praise God for his comfort. We should praise God for his comfort because God's comfort abounds to us through Christ. God's comfort abounds to us through Christ. Notice that verse 5 begins with the conjunction for. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance. What that's telling us is that this verse explains why Christians can come alongside of other Christians and be and perform this ministry of encouragement to them despite whatever they're going through. Look at Paul's basis as to why that's true. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Here's Paul's logic. Just as the sufferings of Christ abound to us, so also God ensures that the comfort from him abounds to us through Christ. Now, when Paul speaks about the sufferings of Christ, we could think about these in a couple of different ways. One, we could think about the sufferings of Christ as those sufferings Christ ordains that his followers are to go through. God is sovereign, and he can choose what we do and do not experience in this life. And so this may be speaking about Christ as the source of our sufferings in the sense that he's in control of what his people do and do not experience. Or we may think of it and along the other lines of the sufferings of Christ here may refer to those things we experience in this life for the sake of Christ and his gospel. What Paul's telling us is the sense that the sufferings we do experience as believers, the important thing here is that they abound to us. They are ours in abundance, which means they overflow to us. Can I get an amen for that? Has anybody ever felt the overflowing of sufferings in life? They're ours in a multitude. They're plentiful in life to us. I want you to think about the ways abundant suffering for the sake of Christ and his gospel is experienced by believers. We suffer persecution. Jesus tells us in John 15, 20, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. So we're going to be oppressed. We're going to be harassed. We're going to be mistreated. All kinds of persecutory things can happen to us simply because we're followers of Jesus. That's a way we suffer. Sometimes we suffer through trials. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Do you know sometimes God causes or allows suffering in our lives because he's putting us through school? He's putting us through his spiritual gym to build our spiritual muscles. And so think about it like this. What you're going through this morning, God is growing you through this morning. So sometimes what we suffer in trials is coming upon us ultimately because God's trying to strengthen us spiritually. Sometimes we suffer spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 tells us who our ultimate battle is against in this world. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Job never realized what was going on in his life as a result of what God was trying to prove against his adversary, Satan, that Job would remain faithful to him no matter what came into his life. And see, sometimes just as Satan wanted to sift Peter, he wants to sift us. And God allows us to suffer spiritual warfare for reasons sometimes unbeknownst to us, but it's for God's glory and for our ultimate good. We sometimes suffer in this world want. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:11, to this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty and poorly clothed and roughly treated, and we're homeless. Do you know it's possible as a believer to experience those kinds of hardships in life? That's what Paul experienced. Jesus didn't even have a place to call home. Sometimes our sufferings will be in the physical realm, material realm of life. We sometimes can suffer from what Paul calls a thorn in the flesh. If you want to look this up in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and as Paul describes this thorn in the flesh, there's a lot of different interpretations as to what it might possibly be, but it seems in that context to be some type of a physical affliction that God allows into our lives ultimately for spiritual purposes and benefits to us. Sometimes we may have a sickness. Sometimes we may have a limitation. Sometimes there may be something going on inwardly because it's a thorn in the flesh that God intends for our good because he knows it will keep us where we need to be spiritually and keep our eyes focused on Christ. And sometimes we suffer, as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11 and in chapter 12, labors and hardships, distresses, and all kinds of difficulties. The point is that there is a great variety that we could see just in the scriptures of afflictions that come into our life from one degree or the other. That's what Paul says. The sufferings of Christ, they overflow to us. But there's a positive side to it. Look at what he goes on to say. He's making a comparison, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. And what Paul is saying is whatever our suffering, whatever's overflowing to us in difficulty, God causes encouragement to overflow to us in Christ. Picture a water tower in our city, like that water tower that has water, and as the water flows through those pipes, that pipeline to get to your home, so Christ is that pipeline to heaven through which the blessings of God flow down from heaven into our hearts and into our lives. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul speaks about Christ as being the one that gives us access, quote, to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Do you know what this means, church? This should cause us to shout for joy this morning because Christ is the one who makes available all of the spiritual benefits that God gives to us. If you think about how those blessings flow from heaven into our lives, I want you to think of it like this. The Bible tells us in our natural state that there's like a dam between us and God, just to use this metaphor, something that blocks those salvific and spiritual benefits from being ours, for us having access to them, and that dam is sin. See, we're born into this world with this sinful nature that separates us from God. We act on that nature. We're rebels against God. And so someone had to come and deal with that dam to remove that dam of sin so that the spiritual blessings of God could be made accessible to mankind. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus, God's son, he stepped down it from heaven to earth 2,000 years ago. He became a human being and lived a sinless, perfect life that he might deal with our sin in a final way through his death on the cross. As he was judged in our place and then put into the grave after he died, and resurrected from the dead, God made clear to the world that sin's power had been broken through his son's obedience to pay its penalty. And God made clear to us that it could now be forgiven and we could be rescued from the judgment of sin, which is separation from him in a literal hell, if we will repent, turn from our sins, and believe in Jesus. See, when we do that, that dam of sin is removed. And the moment we trust in Christ, then God comes to live within us through the Holy Spirit. We're forgiven. We're adopted into his family. And everything that God has for us is available to us because of our relationship, our union with Jesus Christ. And so, church, this is a reason to celebrate if you're a believer this morning. That means in your affliction, God is bestowing his abundant comfort to you through Jesus. That's not a maybe. That's a certainty. That's not a possibility. That's a reality. I want you to get this picture in your mind as Paul's making this comparison between affliction and comfort. If you could take all your suffering and put it on a scale, on one side of the scale, Paul is telling us, those sufferings, man, this ought to get you excited, would not outweigh all the comfort that God gives us in Christ Jesus. God's going to give us as much comfort or exceeding comfort in Christ so that we can deal with whatever comes into our lives. We may suffer much in this life, but praise be to his name. He will comfort us much in Jesus Christ. And that's true if you know Jesus. But if you're here this morning and you've never made that decision to receive God's forgiveness through Christ by trusting in him, then you've got that dam of sin in your life that we talked about that's cutting off access to God and cutting off access to all of his salvific benefits that he wants to be yours. It doesn't have to stay that way if you're willing this morning to give your life to Christ, which we're going to have a response time at the end of this service where you're going to be able to make that decision. We'll be here to answer any questions on what it looks like for you to turn from your sin and trust in Christ. And then the blessings from heaven can begin to flow into your life if you will trust in Christ. So we should praise God. A third reason we see in verse 5, because God's comfort abounds to us through Christ. In verse 6, Paul goes on to give us an additional reason why we should praise God for his comfort. We should praise God for the comfort he gives us in affliction because his comfort produces endurance. God's comfort, it produces endurance in our lives. Paul sees his sufferings, what he experienced for the sake of Christ, as being of spiritual benefit to the Corinthians. Look at what he says. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort. So Paul says, on the one hand, whatever we go through as your leaders, you are benefiting because you're going to be comforted through it. And what Paul's talking about here is all that they had experienced in their sufferings for the gospel and for following Christ, God comforted them. And then what did they do when they came to minister to the Corinthians? They passed on that comfort God had given to them to the Corinthians and helped them persevere in their walk with Jesus. So just as God has given it to Paul, they were reaping the fruits of God's encouragement as they saw Paul's example, as they listened to his teachings, and they were blessed by his exhortations of God's encouragement. But on the other hand, Paul says, but if we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. Paul, not only did they benefit from Paul's sufferings by receiving comfort, but they also benefited from his sufferings by the salvation they experienced. Now, Paul's not saying here that what he went through was redemptive for the Corinthians by any means. What he's describing here is that in getting the gospel to the Corinthians, he had to endure much suffering. It was the journey he was on to the Corinthians. He came to them amidst much suffering, and he pressed through that suffering and brought them the news of salvation by which they were saved. David Garland explains it this way. If Paul had chosen to shrink from the dangers he faced and to retreat unscathed to safer places, many in the Gentile world would not have heard the saving word of the gospel. As Christ endured suffering to bring salvation to the world, Paul endured it to bring the message of salvation to the world. And so the Corinthians benefited from Paul's suffering in that they heard the gospel and they were saved. Importantly, notice what Paul goes on to say about this comfort that they receive from his afflictions. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. The comfort which God gave to Paul and which he passed on to the Corinthians, it served to infuse them with endurance. Now, we're not talking about endurance in the sense of pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, or you're just trying to talk yourself up into this rough and tough mentality so you can just keep putting one foot in front of the other. No, that's not the kind of endurance we're talking about. We're talking about Paul passing along encouragement, God giving encouragement to us so that we have this divine ability to bear up under in the face of difficulty, to stand the tests of hardships that come into our lives. Think of perseverance. Think of steadfastness. What Paul is saying here is that God gives us encouragement because he wants us to persevere for Christ. He wants us to be steadfast and faithful in our commitment to his son. Maybe this will help you understand where Paul's going with this. My weekly running routine, it is 3 4-mile runs. So I try to run 4-mile stints 3 times a week. Sometimes when I begin one of those runs, I have what some of you've heard of called, it's a runner's high. We were talking about this in our staff prayer time. We meet in here as a staff and we pray. And Pastor Ross said, I don't think that's real. I've never experienced a high running. But it really is a real thing. You could get into this running frame of mind and it's like, man, that 4 miles is nothing. I could keep going farther if I just had more time. And But there's just this feeling you get. You're just on a high from it. Your legs feel light and it's easy. But I want to tell you, there are a lot of times when I start one of those 4-mile runs, my legs feel heavy from the start. I feel drained and I don't have the energy. And I don't know why this comes to my mind, but I think about our friend Robbie James's words. He told me one time we were talking about running and he said, Pastor, the only time I ever run is when somebody's chasing me. And I'm just thinking about, I was like, I wish I had Robbie's mentality right now because I wouldn't even be here in the first place just putting myself through this tough ordeal. But when I'm in the midst of that, my legs are heavy and I just don't feel like I have the energy. Do you know what I'm wanting to do? I'm wanting to hit the stop button on the treadmill. That's what I'm wanting to do. I'm wanting to hit it. I'm having to fight back everything to keep from quitting. And isn't that what the Christian life is like a lot of times? Sometimes it's just easy. Man, the blessings are flowing into our life. This is going right. This is going right. We're just seeing breakthroughs. We're experiencing the presence of God. Our quiet times are awesome. Man, we're just being infused with strength. And then there are the other times where, boom, this comes out of left field. Boom, this comes out of right field. And then one thing after another, and then we feel drained. We're tired, and then we get to this place, and we're like, I just don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can finish this. And we're just really struggling. Church, this should encourage us about God's encouragement. God comes alongside of us when those hard times come because God doesn't want us hitting the stop button. God doesn't want us quitting because get this in your heart, and I've said it before, it's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to quit. And so God's coming along, cheering us on, strengthening us, exhorting us, building us up in Christ because he wants us to persevere for Jesus. He wants us to finish the race staying faithful to our Lord and Savior. That's a reason to praise him. Whatever you're going through this morning, God's cheering you on, and God's there with you, and he's going to give you the encouragement you need to finish for Christ. And then last of all, verse 7 this morning, Paul gives us a final reason as to why we should praise God for the comfort that he gives us in affliction. We should praise God for his comfort because God's comfort cultivates hope. God's comfort, it cultivates hope. Look at what Paul says. And our hope for you is firmly grounded. knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Because Paul knew that the Corinthians would receive God's comfort, they'd be sharers or partakers in God's comfort in all of their afflictions, it gave him hope for them. Not hope as we think of it today, wishful thinking. Not just a positive attitude or optimistic feelings. We're talking about something in which Paul could look forward to the future and have a reason for real confidence in the Corinthians. Think of a confident expectation that's grounded in God when you think of biblical hope. We're talking, Paul had this firm assurance, which he says in verse 7 was firmly grounded. He had a solid reason for believing this. It was reliable and could be counted on. He had this unshakable assurance, as Murray Harris puts it, that the Corinthians would be triumphant in their time of trial. Paul had hope. He was confident that they were going to endure the trials they were experiencing. He had confidence that they were going to keep their eyes focused on Jesus. They were going to cross the finish line for Christ. He was persuaded in his heart, without doubt, that the Corinthians, what God started in their hearts, he would bring it to completion. Do you know what that means? Since we know God comforts us in all of our afflictions, as a church, no matter what comes into any of our lives, we can all look at each other and we can have hope for one another. Not because of we're so strong, not because we're just more capable, but because we've got the Almighty, the all-strong God who's not going to forsake us or leave us. And he's gonna come alongside of us and he's gonna strengthen us. I can have hope that when you lose a loved one, you're going to get through that time because God's going to be there to help you through it. I can have hope when your child goes astray and you've done everything you can to point them to Christ, that you are going to finish the race for Jesus because God's going to be there to help you alongside of it. I can be know with all confidence that you are going to please the Lord because God, whatever your difficulty is, he is going to be your encourager, your greatest encourager in life. That should encourage us all to praise the Lord for being a God of comfort because his encouragement gives us hope one for another. A wife by the name of Amy Peterson, she shared a story about her husband, Jack. Jack entered into a marathon race. He was on mile 25 of 26. It was his first marathon he had ever run, and he was running it alone. He came to an aid station. He needed a drink. He grabbed some water, and he sat down exhausted in this grassy area, and he just didn't have the strength to get back up. He had resigned himself to the fact he was not going to finish the race. And about that time, two middle-aged teachers, two ladies, came running by him and they saw him. They didn't know him, but they reached out to him and they asked Jack if he'd like to finish the race with them. And all of a sudden, Jack felt strength return to his body. And he was able to get up, and with those ladies, he was able to finish that marathon. Those two women came across a man who was down, and he was out, and he was ready to quit. He wasn't going to finish the race, but with just a little bit of encouragement, he was able to finish as they ran with him across the finish line. See, that's what encouragement is, guys. It's coming alongside of another person who needs to be exhorted, who needs to be built up, who needs to be strengthened so that they can finish their race for Christ and be pleasing to God in all ways. That's what our God does for us. That's what we've looked at over the last two Sundays. We serve the God of all comfort. He's the God of encouragement. And in this passage, God is calling us to imitate him one to another. He wants us to be an encouraging people that we might be an encouraging church. Who this morning needs to just praise God for his encouragement that he's given you this past week? We're going to have a response time. That's what you need to do. You just need to say, God, I need to acknowledge you and what you've done to encourage me. That's your response in applying this text this morning. Who here is going through one of these distressing difficulties of life, one of these afflictions? Maybe I've named it over the last two Sundays, maybe I haven't, but you just need encouragement. Maybe you know somebody in our church this morning who needs that kind of encouragement. What you need to do to apply this text is you need to get up and you need to go pray with that person this morning. Be a presence of encouragement in their life. Pray with them at where they're seated. Pray with them up front. But you be that person to encourage them this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning, as we've talked about, and you're cut off from the God of encouragement because you don't know his son, Jesus Christ. If that's the case, that can change today. God is calling you to repent of your sins, to turn from them, and to believe in his son, Jesus Christ. That means to receive him into your life by faith, allowing him to become the Lord of your life, and you're willing to follow him from this day forward. We'll help answer any questions you have and what that looks like to make that decision. What do you need to do this morning? We're going to have a time of response. If you're watching online and you want to make a decision to follow Christ, or you need prayer and for some other reason, considering along the lines of encouragement, you can text the word Lakeland to the number at the bottom of the screen. Whatever you need to do, will you come this morning? Will you stand? Father, thank you for this time we've had to open your word. God, to be encouraged by you, the God of all encouragement. We're asking that you'll just move in all of our hearts. Help us to hear from you. Help us to be sensitive to what you want us to do to go and encourage others in our church this very morning. Help us to pray. Help us to respond as you want us to. And may we grow as encouragers. May we become an encouraging church. And we ask it all in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.